Hi, my name is Maria Ognova. That's the Maria. I work at Sidecar, and I love Social Media Clarity Podcast.
For us, that's an age-old problem, and it's only getting worse. And I think that's partially because we've confused social media marketing with community management. Social media marketing, in fact, it doesn't treat people on the other side of a discussion as people.
Welcome to the Social Media Clarity Podcast. 15 minutes of concentrated analysis and advice about social media in platform and product design.
Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Social Media Clarity Podcast. I'm Randy Farmer.
And I'm Scott Moore.
First, there are two online community conferences taking place this fall in San Francisco, and tickets are available now. October 29th and 30th is Feverbee's Sprint, hosted by Richard Millington. Geared toward practical advice for community builders, the first day is a full-day intensive on specific community skills. The main conference will have top community builders from Google, Wikipedia, OpenTable, Airbnb, the Community Roundtable, and even FetLife giving specific how-to talks. A limited number of tickets are available at sprint.feverbee.com. On November 13th, the CMX Summit, organized by David Spinks, takes place also in San Francisco. Billed as the world's largest gathering of community professionals, speakers Ryan Hoover, CEO of Product Hunt, Gina Bianchini, CEO of Mighty Bell, and Douglas Atkin, global head of community at Airbnb, are among the lineup. Tickets are available now at cmxsummit.com. And if you attend either of these conferences, chances are good one of the Social Media Clarity hosts will be there. Say hi. We look forward to meeting you.
Today's episode is a casual conversation about ForumCon 2014, which took place June 19th.
So I went to ForumCon last year in 2013, and it was an interesting group. It was much more forum-oriented. Many more forum owners were there. And this year was a broader mix. There were more B2C community managers, more branded community managers, so some social media folks who were also there. It was a diverse crowd. And I thought that was really interesting to see this year.
I hadn't attended previously, so I have no reference for comparison. I came because Lucy Bartlett, who was the primary organizer of this event, originally had asked me to present my paper on 5 questions for selecting an online community platform. Due to constraints and timing, that didn't happen. And I'd like to thank her very much for putting on what I thought was a really great conference, because I tend to favor unconferences, which are much less structured. She managed to bring in a large number of participants in a single-track conference who all were in a very sharing mood. And I thought a lot of great techniques were shared, even if some of them a little controversial.
I think she did a great job. She's been very active in the Bay Area in the community manager meetup space. So it was great.
Due to traffic, unfortunately, I arrived late and missed the opening networking session. They had a networking session. When I came in, it was in an early session. The room was full. It was packed. And on the screens on the side, on each side, was a Twitter stream following the hashtag ForumCon. And so, of course, my first tweet out is, ran into traffic, now I'm mugging for the big screen on Twitter. I always find it fascinating when an event has large screens following a Twitter stream. Or what did you think about the Twitter streams?
I have to admit, I almost never watch the screens because I have no ability to interact with what comes up on a screen. During conferences, I do follow the hashtags. So I wind up buried in the hashtag search on Twitter, or whatever client I might be using, because there I have a chance to respond. And also I have the client open if I want to say something, because usually I would like to make sure that if there's something I hear that I think is good, I want to make sure it gets out, even if I'm not the one saying it.
I find the hashtag stream fascinating in a couple of ways. One is it's a second set of voices. So if there's a panel out front, it's a way to respond a little bit to the panel. But it also kind of self-elevates you a little for those who are looking at those screens, with a lot of listeners because of the big screens or the people following the tags on their own PCs or devices. There's a second tier of speech going on, but not everyone participates in that.
Absolutely. I think that one tweet that came across the screen that stood out for me was a comment encouraging to have more female speakers at the conference and at future conferences. I would have probably missed that in the tweet stream because it did get retweeted a few times, but it kept coming up on the screen. The algorithm of the screen was such that it repeated a lot of tweets. So I agree with you that the screens do provide a secondary voice or an instigation for additional conversations. So if people don't tend to participate on Twitter, then they get to see kind of what those who are participating on Twitter are doing. And so there is that kind of second back channel that's being made public. And at the same time, it can alert people to something that, in a way, the Zeitgeist is talking about. And then they can dive back into their Twitter feeds and see, hey, do I want to respond to this? Do I want to participate in this? Since we pay attention to the actual mechanics of social networking and how information passes around, we did get Node XL maps. I did pull up a bunch of tweets and kind of aggregated them together just to see what was going on. And one of the things that's important, I think, to point out is that there was a portion of the attendees at FormCon who are absolutely valuable who did not participate in Twitter. So we can't really take all of what's going on Twitter as the voice of everyone that was participating, and to not discount what those folks got from the conference or had to say about the conference or contributed to the conference. Randy, what was the biggest impression you got from FormCon?
I was very excited about how everyone shared their positive knowledge and sometimes would make controversial statements. And there was a lot of advancement of the art over previous years, but I'm surprised how much reinventing the wheel continues to happen every year. And this has happened for at least 15 years at conferences like this.
I had this exact same impression. There were a few things that I thought, wow. And I don't know if it's a generational thing or if it's that we just really haven't fixed these problems to the point that people forget what the source of the problems are.
We had this interesting phase where we were doing kind of audience participation and it was everybody's a panelist and we formed little groups. And not to talk about the format per se, but the conclusions were interesting. One of the questions was, how do you deal with negativity and downvoting? And I shouted out, no downvoting. When people reported around, our side started with no downvoting and then we talked about negativity separately. But as we crept along, people kept adding, well, you can use downvoting if you're really careful. Or, you know, some people kind of use it, and after they work on it really hard, it kind of works. And it's like, no, folks, we figured this out a long time ago. It's written down. You can look it up. You can type in downvoting considered harmful on the web, and you will find out all the challenges that are associated with it. And yes, some people can, but not you. Just because you want to doesn't mean you know how to do it. What about you? What was yours?
Mine was, there was a comment about that one of the problems with civility online is that we fail to recognize that there's a human being on the other side of the screen. And that struck me because I dealt with this as almost one of the first issues when I first started with virtual communities in a virtual world, is that we had to really work hard to make sure that we were trying to humanize the other people. And it was actually one of the key conflict mediation and community moderation methods that we used, is to try to get the other person to remember there's another human being on the other side. And that it seemed to be a key moment in a talk struck me as, wow, this should be inbred. This should be in our DNA with no thoughts anymore about it. And it also made me think, maybe we really haven't solved the problem. Maybe we really haven't been addressing how to make sure that people are being treated like humans, or that we're reminding each user that there is another human being on the other side of this username.
I think for us, that's an age-old problem, and it's only getting worse. And I think that's partially because we've confused social media marketing with community management. And we've talked about the separation before. Social media marketing, in fact, it doesn't treat people on the other side of a discussion as people. They are customers. They are buyers. They are eyes. An entire industry is formed giving them names, which is anything other than personifying.
I wouldn't lay it all at social media's feet, especially since the context of that came up in the discussion of forum technology, which was almost as antithetical to social media marketing as you can get. I don't disagree with you. It's somewhere in there. And I think that also we view increasingly people who are participating in communities as content creators. And I think that's also another step away from here's a person who has emotions, and community is about relationships. So yeah, I just think maybe we really haven't properly addressed it with not just our social work, but the technology work that we're doing.
And to reinforce the conference from this, several of the speakers didn't necessarily call this out precisely in this form. If you looked at how they talked about approaching, establishing, and nurturing your communities, they drove it home over and over and over in the constraints, whether it be Richard Billington talking about the science to create addictive communities, or Courtney Couch talking about purposeful design, and even kind of one of the earlier kickoff talks by David Spinks. He put up some 5 bullet points, all that kind of surround that. So Scott, you've attended 2 of these now. What did you find interesting and of note for ForumCon 2014?
I think 2 things. One, it's a fascinating world. There's an entire world of folks who are building forums and working on monetizing forums. And they're genuine communities, and they're a different group of folks. And I was really glad to see that this might be an interesting mix of this. I am a huge fan of diversity, because I think that just helps us evolve on all fronts. We learn things from people who we don't tend to talk to. And I kind of cheered when I heard it throughout the day. The support for anonymity and pseudonymity in communities, in context, in that it was caveated with, in some communities it's worthwhile, and in some communities it's not going to work out so well. And I thought that was great to hear that from kind of all sides, from the community manager, you know, the branded community managers, and the forum folks.
It's good to see that some things have advanced. I didn't hear anyone up on stage saying the solution to everything is Facebook IDs, true IDs, unified IDs. That's an improvement.
And I heard 2 speakers call out 4chan specifically as, here is an anonymous community that has a culture of actually beating on each other in order to build trust and connection with each other. It was a diversity of what community means. And it was an inclusive definition of community. Just because you want a nice branded community and that's safe, that people are saying nice things about you and your company, does not mean that that is what all communities should be.
I thought the curly hair community story was particularly compelling.
She spoke last year. I heard her speak and talk about the curly hair community. So it was really interesting to hear the update and the impact that they were having, particularly Target, that they got to change their curly hair products from ethnic to
textured.
Yeah, that's a definite success story. And it's an impactful success story.
Exactly. An online community changed branding information for major chemical companies. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you, Lucy Bartlett and Vig Link, for ForumCon. You helped stimulate a lot of thought with a whole lot of people, and we really appreciate it.
And thanks to all the speakers and participants and the people who tweeted.
Awesome.
Till next time, catch you later.
Bye.
For links, transcripts, and more episodes, go to socialmediaclarity.net. Thanks for listening.